You have tried everything, and still the waves of your mind continue to crash into the beach of your psyche. So, if we may be so bold, perhaps a guided, crunching meditation. Welcome to The Empty Bowl. My name is Justin McElroy, and I am a cereal enthusiast.
My name is Dan Gobert, and I am a cereal ethnographer, in the sense that I know the cereal culture and the overall breakfast zeitgeist well enough to understand the impact of some of the stories we're about to talk about today.
That's so exciting that we have so much going on. This first news story, Dan, I have to tell you, I'm thrilled over here. Over on this end, I'm thrilled.
I mean, it's huge. It's absolutely substantial. So when you write about cereal for 5 years like I have, inevitably you end up saying some of the same things again and again. And one of the easiest things to do when you're writing about cereal is to tell the world about the weirdly specific cereals that you've always wanted to see on shelves. And for me, besides Gingerbread Toast Crunch, I think the second most hyped up idea of a cereal I've ever had would be a Little Debbie oatmeal cream pie cereal. And now we must wait no more, as Kellogg's has partnered with the snack cake brand to bring an oatmeal cream pie cereal to shelves later this year.
What's it going to look like?
So from appearances alone, it doesn't necessarily look like the sort of sandwiched cream and oatmeal cookie snack cake that you're familiar with. It looks more like sort of a brown oatmeal ring cereal, which is fine. I'm not really in this for appearances so much as the legacy of the snack cake in question. Mm-hmm. Would you say that the oatmeal cream pie is your favorite Little Debbie product?
It's up there with Cosmic Brownie. I love that plasticky chocolate on a Cosmic Brownie. I used to get Star Crunches a lot when I was a kid in my lunch bag, but I don't like those. So I don't know why I felt the need to tell you that, but now you know it.
Yeah, for me, I'd say it's a three-way tie between the oatmeal cream pie, the double-decker oatmeal cream pie, which is its own distinct beast, and the fudge round, which is essentially just a chocolate oatmeal cream pie. But overall, I think the oatmeal cream pie is an amazing snack cake product. It's probably my go-to whenever I am at a gas station stopped on a long road trip. So I'm very, very excited to see it come to cereal form. Especially,
it's going to be a thin line to walk to get that exact flavor. Because as I discovered recently, raisins are in the batter of the oatmeal cream pie. It's
what?
A distinct. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, man.
There are raisins in the oatmeal cream pie. So that's why, like, you get that, like, it's what gives it its distinct flavor, is that there's raisins mixed into it, into the batter, pureed into the batter. So that will be a tricky flavor to nail, I think.
I'm really hoping that mine is not the only mind that you've blown with this revelation right here, because I did not know that at all. I mean, meanwhile, I was just hoping that this is an actual oat-based cereal rather than some sort of corn contraption, because I think it'd be really inauthentic otherwise. But I think my favorite thing about this story overall is how you just know that someone at Kellogg's saw Post team up with Hostess to drop the sort of Twinkies, etc. cereals and immediately thought, get Little Debbie on the horn, we're not going to stand for this, and sort of forced that cooperation to happen.
Yeah,
it's funny that you mentioned Cosmic Brownies, actually, because when this story first broke, before it became official from Kellogg's themselves, there was a YouTube video of someone reviewing the Little Debbie cereal, or oatmeal cream pie cereal, before anyone knew about it, and they were also reviewing a Cosmic Brownie cereal. It was weird because they had the box art for Little Debbie oatmeal cream pie cereal, but they didn't have any official box art for the Cosmic Brownie cereal, and the stuff really kind of looked like the Cocoa Puffs Brownie Crunch that re-released not too long ago, so it's very uncertain the legitimacy of this cosmic brownie cereal, because after the news officially dropped, I reached out to Kellogg's, my contact there, and asked them about this, and all they could tell me in the vaguest possible terms was that a cosmic brownie cereal was not releasing at this time. So that seems like a tacit confirmation that a cosmic brownie cereal was at least considered. Whether it will actually be released or not, or if it was scrapped entirely, remains uncertain. But the point remains that we are entering a brave new world of snack cake cereals, and I'm all here for it.
Two steps forward and then a few steps back, General Mills cereal has created remix snacking mixes. A lot of return to the classics. This is a remix. They're rebranding it. We've got some cereals that are returning to retro flavors, which I see wisely not included on the rundown because it is a nonsensical story. But let's talk about remix flavors, which is different from Honey is Back in Golden Grahams. It's a
weird,
different idea, but my brain keeps conflating them.
It's really weird because I hope there aren't any hardcore Kellogg stands here, because we're about to talk about General Mills for like four different line items straight here. First of all, these General Mills cereal remix snacking pouches are three different, again, pouched snacks that sort of mix up some cereal elements that you're familiar with, hopefully to bring them into a new delicious light. We have three different variations here. There's Cinnamon Toast Crunch, which mixes Cinnamon Toast Crunch squares with Vanilla Chex, as well as Cinnamon Toast Crunch churro pieces. This seems like a very, very safe bet. I can't imagine.
Kind of one note, maybe?
Yeah. It's very, very much cinnamon and sweeter cinnamon, as well as those churros, which might stab you in the palate, as I've had experience with on the Cinnamon Toast Crunch churros in the past. But beyond that, there's also a Golden Grahams remix, which includes not only Golden Grahams, but Cocoa Puffs and cereal marshmallows as well. This being by far the most obvious no-brainer thing that Golden Grahams as a brand could have done, and it seems a little bit late to the punch, because we've had Honey Made S'more cereal that really, really set the bar for a Golden Grahams-based s'more cereal. So it's interesting to see how that one will stack up. But by far, for me at least, the most interesting of the three General Mills remixes here would be a Chocolate Toast Crunch-based confection. Partly because I've gotten several emails lately asking whether Chocolate Toast Crunch as a whole was discontinued, because apparently people are having trouble finding it. But this seems to be proof at least that Chocolate Toast Crunch is still alive, in that this remix pairs the stuff with Vanilla Chex again, but caramel corn as well, making it the only remix of the three that features something not familiar to cereal bowls. And I think caramel corn could be a really, really exciting addition. I don't know if you remember when we tried the HEB cereals not too long ago. There were a couple granola ones that included popcorn as an ingredient, and they were really, really good. So I think I have the highest hopes of the three for the Chocolate Toast Crunch remix.
I hope that I can find... I've had no luck finding anything new lately in my local stores. I don't know if it's pandemic-related or what have you, but I can't even find... I thought the Honey Made Cinnamon was supposed to be out by now. I've not been able to find that. Cookies and Cream Krispies, no dice. Chocolate Life, no dice. Constantly search.
Man, I told all my cereal contacts about you and asserted that you receiving these new cereals is just as important as me getting them, so I might have to...
I don't mind to buy them from the store like a regular Joe. That doesn't bother me. I just want them to be at the store for me to buy them. I just want the option to get them and enjoy them.
It's true.
Be able
it's
to
very
contribute
true.
To the conversation. More Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Do you think Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the most covered cereal on this podcast? Do you think we've talked the most about Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Have to, right?
It's got to be. It's General Mills by far. That and Lucky Charms are their two go-tos when it comes to actually like branding out beyond just a cereal flavor. I guess the Kellogg's equivalent would be Fruit Loops, which we've also talked about a lot in terms of like fast food promos and stuff like that. But yes, it's very, very close.
Which leads into...
Yes, probably the most weirdly specific cereal product release that we've seen in a long time, and that is the Barnes & Noble Cafe Exclusive Cinnamon Toast Crunch Cookie. So the Barnes & Noble Cafe locations are basically just Starbucks within Barnes & Noble locations, but those very, very specific locations will be selling a Cinnamon Toast Crunch cookie. You'd expect that to be sort of a snickerdoodle confection, but it actually brings chocolate chips into the mix to give you something that's more aligned with a chocolate toast crunch as a cookie. And I could go either way for the product as itself, but I think while we're talking Fruit Loops, this is right in line with the Wiener Schnitzel Fruit Loops ice cream in terms of just being like stupid specific and really like how many people are going to go to this location just to try that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know, an AI-generated sort of cereal product or something you would see in Clue. I don't know. Maybe next we'll see a imagine me rolling a dice right now. Honey Bunches of Oats, Honey Cruller, exclusive to...
There you go.
Airport Dunkin' Donuts locations.
We have General Mills is still hanging in there.
So this is rare as well in terms of cereal news. Something significant enough to announce as a prize inside of cereal boxes that are hitting shelves right now. So,
unbelievable.
This came from a friend of the blog, Collecting Candy, on Twitter, who posted about these Cereal Squad boxes of different General Mills cereals. So inside of these boxes, you will find a figurine, which they look a lot like sort of Funko Pops in a sense. They do have pupils as well as just eyes, which I really, really appreciate versus the Funko variants. But
yeah.
On participating boxes of General Mills cereal, inside you can find either Buzz the Bee, Chip the Wolf, Lucky the Leprechaun, Sunny the Cuckoo, a Cinnamon Toast Crunch Crazy Square, or Trix Rabbit himself, all of which is little figurine variants. And to really, really up the ante, they're including 600 gold figures within all of these. So I do have to admit that I appreciate when there's a toy inside of a cereal box that's actually worth looking for. And I can't necessarily speak to the quality of these, especially compared to the Cap'n Crunch figurines that we discussed not too long ago, which are really, really well done, but those were mail-away offers. Regardless, this is a reason to dig into your cereal box once again, for more reason than to just pluck out a dry handful of the stuff.
I mentioned retro recipes and taste comebacks.
Mm-hmm.
But that was kind of led off in the past couple weeks by Golden Grahams, the retro recipe Golden Grahams. Honey, Dan, is back.
Uh-huh. In case you didn't know, which I didn't know. So
you didn't know, listener.
I did not know.
If Dan did not know, you did not know, my dear listener.
It's just... it's weird because we've hyped up Golden Grahams a lot on this podcast, right?
Good cereal.
We both love the sort of simplicity of it, the minimalism that goes into making a cereal so good that only focuses on honey graham crackers. But out of nowhere, it seems, General Mills announces this Golden Grahams retro recipe variant that it brings back honey as an ingredient. And if you did not know that honey has been removed from Golden Grahams, you are not alone, because they never told anybody that they did that. So this retro recipe, in a sense, comes across as like an apology almost for something that you didn't even know you were wronged for. But retro recipe Golden Grahams, which again, there's a lot of sort of timeline faults here when you look into the matter. I was trying to figure out when exactly honey was removed from Golden Grahams, so I went back and compared every publicly available nutritional label provided by schools, government bureaus, etc., to find out that honey was most likely removed sometime around 2012. So the whole retro recipe element and the idea that the whole box, the back of the box, is like 80s themed seems a little bit anachronistic and inaccurate. Yeah. But if we put that aside and just talk about how the return of honey affects the cereal, it's pretty mild, at least in my experience. I notice the difference. You can especially notice it in milk, but it's very, mm-hmm. very ephemeral. It's like the difference between a light and a dark sweetness, because when Golden Grahams removed the honey, they basically replaced it with more brown sugar. So when you try the non-honey Golden Grahams of late, it will seem a lot darker, almost like burnt and molassesy, versus mm-hmm. this retro recipe, which is a lot brighter. It's a lot simpler. I think it lacks any like deep floral honey notes or anything that really, really punches you with the real honey element. But it does feel a lot purer in that way. So if you are a Golden Grahams fan, I don't think you have anything to lose by trying this one out. It's probably not going to blow you away, but it is an interesting contrast to what you might be used to. And to go back on what you said about the throwback or comeback, it was only announced very, very recently that Retro Recipe Golden Grahams were part of a quartet of General Mills cereals that are being remastered, in a sense, to revert them to their glory days. This includes Trix reverting to fruit shapes, which is a really, really dumb thing to be proud of, because they brought fruit shapes back 2 years ago, and as far as I know, they never removed them again. So this seems to be them taking double credit for something they did a long time ago. But besides that, and besides the Golden Grahams, there's also Cocoa Puffs and Cookie Crisp, both of which promise to bring more chocolatey taste back into their cereal. I think that's kind of a cop-out, just because those especially are something that's very, very hard to quantifiably measure. Yeah. I don't really necessarily have high hopes for them, but I'm really hoping that they blow me away more so than the Golden Grahams or the redundant Trix news did.
I tell you what I did enjoy, though. We talked churros cereal is starting to become a subcategory in and of itself, and Malto Meal decided to get into the game.
Yeah, did you try this one?
I did, actually. Yeah, I got a bag of it. Like all Malto Meal, or most families has bags, I had a couple bowls and then wondered, like, how will I ever stay ahead of this?
But you have a lot family, of though.
Yeah, I do, but none of them like it. None of them like... But my kids like only like stuff with marshmallows. Mm. My wife doesn't eat cereal, so there's not a good way to unload these. I liked it. That's my short review. I had trouble. I'm glad your review was there, because I had trouble forming a lot of very strong opinions. I feel like a lot of these churro cereals are missing sort of the essential two things that to me I associate with churros, which is like, one, chocolate, two, a sort of like creamy doughiness in the center, be that from Bavarian cream or just like the general doughiness. I haven't gotten that from any churro cereal, and I will say this was not an exception, but I still thought it was a pretty good cinnamon flavor.
Yeah, I've pretty much settled that a complex dessert such as the churro can't really be fully done justice in a cereal medium, but mm-hmm. I will agree with you that this is a really, really good cereal. Aside from Cinnamon Toast Crunch being the cereal that we talk about very often on this podcast, 2020 in particular has been a year for other cereals sort of upsetting what Cinnamon Toast Crunch stands for. So if you remember, we talked about Honey Made Grahams cereal not too long ago, and that basically being the perfect fusion of Golden Grahams and Cinnamon Toast Crunch. We also see here with churros a marked improvement on texture. So with Cinnamon Toast Crunch, this... Malto Meal churros are basically the perfect midpoint between basic Cinnamon Toast Crunch, which is very, very thin and airy, and the Cinnamon Toast Crunch churros, which are a lot thicker and denser, but the noodly shapes tend to spear me in the palate when I eat them too quickly. churros from Malto Meal is the perfect intermediary in that it's very, very crunchy. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, despite its name, tends to lack a lot of that crunch factor, and I think the thick rings that are presented here from Malto Meal have the exact same flavor as Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but with a much heartier crunch. And I can really, really appreciate that as a small improvement over something that's considered classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good one. What about Fruity Blast? Is that fair as well?
So that's the other Malto Meal release that has been released just lately, and that is Malto Meal's take on Trix, essentially. And this one's a bit less notable, I would say. It tastes exactly like Trix. It's very, very hard to distinguish in any sense. But Where it loses to Trix is sort of its geometry, because Trix has six different exciting fruit shapes, whereas Multimeal Fruity Blast only have two different shapes. They have the sort of berry clusters, which they use to indicate raspberries as well as wild berries. But then the only other shape is a sort of crescent moon slash banana type shape, which appears to reflect lemon, lime, and oranges as well, while just looking like yellow, green, and orange bananas. So if you're really the type of person who frets over like shape diversity in your cereal, you might not like Fruity Blast, but if you're a Trix fan who's looking to save some money per volume, you can't go wrong with this one.
I like the colors too, for whatever reason, of the Fruity Blasts. It's kind of like a little bit more washed out, which I kind of find appealing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, those washed out colors didn't work so well for Trix when they tried to remove all artificial colors before. Oh, so
that was a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
Now, Dan, so we're getting a little continental here with some French cereals. My. How exotic.
So,
other than French Toast Crunch, I'm assuming.
Right. The most authentic, I'm sure. But a listener, Tomas, who has access to French cereals, of course, sent me a whole medley of the stuff. And I think the standouts of that crowd, which are not new cereals by any measure, but if you're in America and don't have exposure to European cereals, you probably aren't familiar with them. But two that I'd like to talk about are Trésor, which is basically the European version of Crave. This one was interesting to me because we've talked about on this podcast before just how divisive Crave is. A lot of people love it, like me, and a lot of others, like our friend Gabe from Cereal Time, abhor the stuff. They think it tastes like dog food or whatever. And I never really understood what they were going for there until I tried Trésor. This is Crave taken to its extreme. So on one hand, you have the shell, which when I tried this one, I really started to understand the dog food element because it has a really weird, like, artificial taste to the shell. It's not awful, but it's not something that feels like it was made necessarily for human consumption. And that's not meant to be a total detriment, because once you get into the center of Trésor cereal, it's much better, because not only is it chocolate, but it's hazelnut as well. So you've got this sort of Nutella-filled cereal that, once you get past the initial palate confusion, ends up being really, really good. Not much more to say about it than that. If you can take a few split seconds of confusion and disappointment, you'll have fun with Trésor cereal. Lion cereal, on the other hand, is a well-known cereal overseas. It's been around for a long time. And this is a cereal that combines chocolate and caramel. Again, two elements that we're familiar with from American cereals. And in this case, I don't think they taste too differently than what you might see in a chocolate and caramel cereal from America. But the texture of these especially is just so supple, smooth, and nice that I can't really explain it well. The lion cereal pieces are shaped like gemstones or perhaps a lion's teeth. Mm. And they're just so smooth that the mouthfeel is exquisite. And even though the taste is average, nothing really to write home about, more chocolate than caramel, whatever, just sort of the tactile fun of it is worth the cost of entry alone. So if you're looking to import cereals from overseas, these are two good ones to consider, I'd say.
Wow. Well, I'd love to give it a try, Dan. I'll come over. I'll be over soon. Mm-hmm. To your house.
I'll keep the back door unlocked.
Thank you. Hear that, everybody? We asked you, so often we come to you, our listeners, hat in hand, say that's all the content we have. We can't make any more. We can't make enough to fill the show. Can you please make content for us?
Please.
Please. This, you don't understand how taxing this is. We week in, week out, except for the ones we miss and the weeks where we don't make an episode because we only make one every other week. But still, such a demanding schedule, it's impossible to keep up with. So we asked you, fine folks, what holiday baked good would you most like to see in a cereal? And this is what you said.
I had a cereal based on the baked good for a holiday, I'd make a pumpkin bread base, frosted flake shaped Halloween cake, kind of with those marbits maybe, but I've mixed feelings about marbits. They're always kind of a bit like cardboard, so maybe just the pumpkin bread flakes, even though it's basic, I think would be pretty good. Also, thank you for the show, and my name's Isaac.
Hey, Dan and Justin, this is Pete from Brooklyn, and my holiday baked good-based cereal would be ponchki-flavored cereal. Ponchki, singular ponchek, are those yeasty, fruit-filled Polish donuts that you might find in Chicago and definitely find in Poland. They're baked for Fat Thursday, Tłusty Czwartek. The cereal would be kind of yeasty and oaty with marbits that are flavored with traditional fillings like powidła, which is a plum jam, wild rose, and strawberry or Bavarian cream. Thanks.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Rose from Vancouver. A holiday baked good that would be perfect as cereal is finikia. Finikia are Greek Christmas cookies made with semolina flour, flavored with orange and brandy, which, after baking, are dipped in honey syrup and rolled in cinnamon and chopped walnuts. For the cereal, I imagine small oat rings with a hint of orange flavor, coated in a powdery honey-cinnamon mixture. Small, crunchy chunks of brandy-candied walnut would be interspersed in the bag for a contrast in texture. Thanks for the show, as always.
I could listen to 100 years of people pitching holiday-themed. What a relaxing minute right? and a half that was, especially with Isaac's song and the sort of cultural learnings that we had in that. What a wonderful segment that was.
Yeah,
that was fantastic.
At this rate, people will be sending us full-length documentaries about cereals that they'd like to see, so I encourage all the creativity.
That segment, that kind of variable in a segment always makes me a little sad that creativity is not at more of a premium in the cereal world.
Yeah.
Especially, I think, now more than ever. Do you have any questions, Dan? Anything on your mind that you'd like people to help you out with?
So this one is inspired by our news item today of the Barnes & Noble Cafe Cinnamon Toast Crunch Cookie, as well as the Wiener Schnitzel Fruit Loops Ice Cream. What is the most obscure sort of cross cereal branding release that you could imagine? What's a sort of, non-supermarket entity that could release a cereal pairing that you would think is really, really cool?
Excellent. You can go to bold.rest and you'll see a little button there to leave us a message. You can answer our question. If you want to hook up a mic up, that's great, but your phone's fine. It's all good. Just, keep it cool, keep it real smooth, and match the tone of our show. I don't expect any Zoo Crew antics on the line, but still, it doesn't hurt to say. Dan, I'm so intrigued by our cereal myth item here for the third segment, where we like to cut loose a little bit and have a little bit of fun after all the serious cereal business. Tell me about your journey. Tell me about your journey.
So this was sort of inspired by our most recent cereal myth. I know we do this segment a lot. It's probably the most interesting one, in my opinion at least. But when we talked about the golden maple Quaker oatmeal squares and how it's really, really hard to find them anywhere, there were indeed a number of people who emailed us, tweeted us, or whatever about how it's always been available to them and it's easy to find, and kind people even offered us to send them. Are to send us the golden maple oatmeal squares. So I want to hopefully challenge our listeners again with something even more specific, that it was so specific that it was lost to my memory until like this very, very recently. But it's something that I've never, ever, and this is including research I've done recently, seen someone else post about, and yet I managed to find it and try it. So one day in 2017, 3 years ago, I was at my local Meijer grocery store, which is a pretty exclusive to the Midwest area, but I saw there two different pouches, much like the remix from General Mills that we were talking about. But they were Honey Nut Cheerios and Cinnamon Toast Crunch, respectively, granola snacks. Very, very interesting products we have here. So if we start with the Honey Nut Cheerios one, for example, it's clear proof that I didn't remember these for a long time, because looking at them now, this is basically the Honey Nut Cheerios Oats and Honey Oat Crunch that we have hyped about so much in recent years, which you've probably tried on shelves as one of the most amazing cereals available to you. But the granola snack version was basically that before its time. And likewise, the Cinnamon Toast granola snack was also Cinnamon Toast Crunch pieces, basically with granola glued all over them with tapioca syrup or whatever they use, to make for two respective cereal products that were crunchy, chewy at times, and very, very sweet in how they adhered granola to the actual cereal piece. They were solid. I wouldn't say they were amazing in any sense, at least at this iteration of the idea phase, but I've never seen anyone else mention them. I've never seen another picture of them. I have searched for these granola snacks before, and the only other postings about them use my photos. So for all those people who so diligently alerted us about Golden Maple Quaker Oatmeal Squares, I dare anyone listening to this, if you can provide me photo evidence that you either saw or tried Honey Nut Cheerios or Cinnamon Toast Crunch granola snacks from this 2017 era, the first person to mail us valid proof, I will send you an Empty Bowl sticker, because I've been making some lately. So that is your challenge, good cereal scholars. If you can find, you can look up on cerealistly.net these granola snacks to see what they might have looked like to jog your memory. But I am just so confused as to why there's no documentation about this online and how I'm the only person who's ever tried it. It makes me think that General Mills was at that store and planted these just to get my consumer feedback on them.
And you left them hanging. Mm-hmm. You never called them to say what you thought. Thank you so much for listening to our program. Again, bowl.rest is where you can find it. Our t-shirts, as I understand, are back in stock.
Ooh.
At McElroyMerch.com. If you want to get yourself an Empty Bowl t-shirt, you can get one there, I believe. You can also support the show. If you go to bowl.rest, you can pledge like $1 or $10 a month, whatever you can do is really amazing. It helps to keep Cerealistly running, and the other half goes to a local homeless shelter here in West Virginia. So we really appreciate you doing that.
We would like to thank Emily Loper for both editing our show and drawing those amazing shirts, which are very, very much worth the restock and the consideration, as well as Bria Davis for doing our show branding, and Chris Zabriskie for his opening song of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow.
Thank you so much for listening. That's going to do it for us. So until next time, for Dan Gubera, my name is Justin McElroy. And as always,
don't you forget about the milk.
Oh, I love that. That's a new, I love that energy.
Yeah.
I love it.